And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and also Mitchell Spean, who is the star of the Standard of Excellence show, as well as The Bottom Line. And Mitchell, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, this is great. And we, of course, have a great guest in studio today. However, before we introduce him, who's a returning veteran, by the way, of Breakthrough Thinking, I wanted to express thanks to the station for we rebroadcast the Stephen First interview that we had 2 weeks ago on October 18th. He was hysterical, so I hope everyone enjoyed that from 2 to 3, and that just got over with. I was listening to it again, and it was hysterical.
Even the second time.
Yeah, it was even better the second time. I said, who's that host, though? Oh, that was me. But anyway, Stephen First, of course, star of Animal House. He was Flounder, Babylon 5, and The Saint Elsewhere, and
it was the
producer.
And it was the debut show for
it was. It was a debut show of our new Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. So anyway, we're excited, of course, to have in studio today is Manny Cruz, who's running for mayor, city of Glendale. Manny, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thank you for having me on again.
You're more than welcome, because I'll tell you, of all the cities, this is a hotly contested race because of all the issues. City of Glendale, boy, has been in the news for many different reasons. One is, of course, the Phoenix Coyotes, and then you had the Tohono O'odham Nation, the casino deal that keeps going to court, and somehow the city seems to keep losing their appeals. Why don't we start with that? Actually, before we start with that, let me just talk a little bit about you, because in your bio it said a longtime Glendale resident, but you're not kidding, fourth-generation Arizonian. Fourth generation, that's like when the planet started. How far ago was that? That must have been. Anyway, fourth generation, that's remarkable.
Yes, my grandmother was actually born in Tucson, and she was born the same year Arizona became a state.
That's incredible. What? Let's see, that must have been 1906?
1912.
Oh, I was close. Double
and
it up.
Her father was a street sweeper for the city of Phoenix. After she was born, they moved to Phoenix. And he was the first person ever to retire from the city of Phoenix with retirement certificate number one. So we've been here a while.
Wow. So, I mean, if anyone deserves to be mayor and involved in Arizona, especially Phoenix area, specifically Glendale, it's you, Manny.
All right.
I mean, you know what's going on for four generations. Let me ask you, before we really get into the politics of this, you have seen, since you were a kid, the massive growth of Phoenix, right? I mean, because I came here in 94, and already it seemed like, you know, not a big city because I came from Los Angeles, but if you started here, it must look like a big city to you.
It is. It has changed so much over the years where I used to go and enjoy the Arizona wilderness is now developments and malls and different things like that. But I'll tell you, a few years back, I went back east to Connecticut. So I had quite a bit of work to do back there working on large-scale development projects. And I was gone for 10 years, and I did not, when I came back probably about seven or eight years ago when I came back to Arizona, it was completely different than when I left. And it was amazing to see the amount of growth that had happened over just that span.
Wow, and I think you have a phone call. Oh, no, that's Mitch's phone. Oh, I called him out. People tell me not to call people out. But it's good. You turned it off pretty quickly. Why don't we get that person live on the air and really do like candid radio?
Oh,
remember
boy.
The TV show Candid Camera?
Oh, yeah, you
that,
bet.
That would have been funny. Now, something in your bio is really interesting. You first of all, you went to Carl Hayden High School here in Arizona.
Yes.
And there it goes again. And Austin Powder Blasting Academy as an explosive engineer. What is an explosive engineer? I thought that was interesting when I saw that.
Well, to put it simply, I would blow stuff up for a living.
Wow.
And I got into the mining portion of that. I got into large-scale development projects, blowing up bridges when they needed to take them down and put up new ones, buildings, you name it.
Well, you know, that's sort of cool. And, of course, you Of course, you've been involved with mines, and the safety is very important to you, which I really admire about you. Talk a little bit about this. You have the Abandoned Mine Safety Organization, AMS. How's that going? And
it's going great. That's an organization that we started in April of last year.
We being
the board of directors that oversee this. It was a great many of us that got together, and we decided that there was a need. Arizona has 10,000 documented abandoned mines, and the state and federal government just don't have the money necessary in order to close those down or do the education portion that is so well needed. Families weren't having discussions about abandoned mines, yet every year children were falling in them.
Oh.
So what we did was start this organization. We started closing down abandoned mines and started educating kids K through 12 all over the state, thousands and thousands of kids. And for the first time in over 12 years, there were no deaths of abandoned mines. So it's working.
And you save lives. That's got to be rewarding in and of itself.
It absolutely is. And even the small ones, the 5 and 6-year-olds, what we do is we have different training presentations depending on the age group. And then the small ones, after we give them that presentation, we wait a couple of days, and then we task them with creating drawings that would depict what they learned that day. And they retain that information even at that age.
So that's really good. You're all about helping people. That's what I really enjoy about you, Manny, ever since I met you several years ago. And you can always tell people that are compassionate, that want to give, to serve. You are one of those people.
Absolutely. I do that with our community there in Glendale as well. I'm a commissioner for the city of Glendale. I sit on 2 commissions. And just last Saturday, I sit on the neighborhood commission. Last Saturday, we had a paint-a-thon. And we were able to get 8 individual houses, get about 300 people together, some from different schools, some volunteers, some faith-based organizations, to come together and paint houses for those folks that can't afford it.
Oh, that is really cool. I mean, really, if you think about it, that's what this country needs, are more people to really not say stuff but do stuff.
Right.
Walk their
talk.
And
it's also be part of the community.
Exactly, and that's important, too, to keep these communities intact and not just be a number but really be a human being.
Absolutely, and that sense of pride of community is what the city of Glendale is all about. And under my administration there as mayor of Glendale, hopefully in January, I'm going to continue that. The more community involvement we have, the better decisions we can make.
No question about it. Now, speaking of Glendale, I mean, it's been interesting. We've been tracking this, as you know, because we have sports programming on Wednesday and Friday. And, you know, we're big Coyote fans, big hockey fans, and the sports show started really as a hockey show. Now we're more diverse. But, wow, 3 years, over 3 years of this Coyote situation. Maybe we should start there because we have a lot of people probably listening that are just sports fans. Where do you want to even start? I mean, it went from bankruptcy and it, you know, went into bankruptcy with Jerry Moyes, and then the NHL bought them out, and you had a cast of characters like the owner of the Chicago White Sox being involved for a while, and then he backed out. Then he came back, and then you had a cast of other potential buyers. Then the lockout came. Of course, can't forget to mention the Goldwater Institute sort of creeping in there and hurting one of the sales. But where does it stand now as far as you know? I know you're not you're a candidate, so you're not part of the council, but do you know where it stands right now?
I do know that that the city of Glendale still wants to go ahead with the deal with Jameson, and that they'd like to get that done before the end of the year. So right now they are waiting on the election to be completed so that they can find out where they're going to be standing after the vote on 457, which is going to be key in really dictating whether or not the city of Glendale keeps, I think, in my opinion, the Coyotes or not. So essentially, let's kind of transition to that just real briefly. The city of Glendale increased the sales tax 0.7%, back in June. So there's a proposition called 457 out there that wants to do 2 things. And it wants to, It wants to make sure that any future sales tax increases are voted on by the citizens, by the voters. And then B, they want to take the sales tax that's already in place and remove that. So they want it to be retroactive, and which is very unusual for an initiative. So I'm for the first part. If if the citizens want any future mm-hmm. sales increases to vote on those, that I'm totally fine with that. But I believe that if you were to get rid of the sales tax that's now in place, it's going to do an incredible amount of damage to the city of Glendale's services.
That's interesting. So it would be retroactive, or as of January 1st. So
it'd be retroactive as of when the sales tax was in place, which was in June. That's the interpretation of the initiative.
Yeah.
Now there's some debate with the city attorney as to his thoughts on the matter. Is that it's not retroactive because it is an initiative. So where we stand on that now, I'm not sure, but I know the intent is to be retroactive. So once it actually passes or it doesn't pass, it's gonna lead to probably some other discussions as to how they implement that.
Yeah, we've had Craig Tindall on the show several times, and I think in his opinion it was not retroactive, just like you said. However, I guess it may end up in the courts again, and that's Save Glendale Now that I think has that initiative, or got it on the ballot, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So one part you like, the other part you don't like. So if it's voted...
Just for clarification, you said it was two parts or two different votes?
No, it's two parts to one vote.
Yeah.
So okay, I just wanted to make sure that I understood, because sometimes you could have separate initiatives saying that one being the... what we're doing going forward and what we're doing about the current issue at hand. So it's all one lumped into one vote.
Which is interesting if you think about it, because let me ask you this. Is there any polling on this right now in terms of whether, so if it's a yes vote, that means the sales tax potentially gets retroactively reduced, which then sort of dries up some of the revenue or all the revenue from that particular initiative, which is sort of earmarked partly to fund the Coyotes arena management fee.
Well, it's to balance the budget, and the Coyotes are
part of the budget. Yeah.
But without that sales tax increase, the city of Glendale is saying that there could be a loss of up to 106 public safety officers, two libraries, some parks. The Glendale Glitters, all the special events.
Oh, I always like that.
So there's a lot more to it, and then cut in services that they normally have. Everything from planning and zoning, I think, to permitting and some other things that the businesses.
So bigger implications than just the Phoenix Coyotes.
Oh, then you're right. Then correct. What do you do with the tax that's already been collected? Does that get refunded?
I don't know. I'm not an attorney. That Mr. Tindall would probably.
That it's a very good question, though, and we'll have to check that out.
It's a challenge enough. Yeah, because everybody's paying it, so getting it back to each individual is impossible.
I don't know how that would work. Maybe a free party at my house, but anyway, probably not. But so that's interesting. So the first part, you like the citizens to vote, which is cool. I think that makes sense. The second part, no. So leave the sales tax alone, and certainly Coyote fans will like that part.
Right. I think that what the city of Glendale really needs to do is more economic development. It needs to bring in more jobs and actually come up with the necessary money not to lay any more folks off and to pay for the stuff that we have. During the course of our campaign, we've been able to kind of address that in several stages, everything from refinancing our bonds to trying to get more jobs into the community like the casino.
Not easy being a mayor. I mean, there's a lot, especially inheriting some of the stuff. It's been a very tough situation. Now, one last question, and we'll move on to some related issues like the casino deal. Any polling on whether 457 would pass? I mean, do you know where it's leaning? Do you think? No?
No, I don't. I know that there are polls out there because I've gotten a call do you agree with this or don't agree with that? But I don't know who's doing that, and I've not gotten any results on it.
Yeah. Just curious, and I guess we'll see. We'll know soon enough. We'll know next Tuesday, right?
We'll know next Tuesday.
This will be really interesting. And, of course, one last thing with the Coyotes, a lockout certainly didn't help the Coyotes situation.
It didn't. It came at a pretty bad time, I guess. But I know that the city of Glendale has done some, had looked at the contract and made some changes on that, and I know that they had, they've got some contingencies for things such as the lockout.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I did talk to Joyce Clark. She sort of gave a rundown of the new deal with Jameson, although it's been very quiet. One last thing, if you know, you may not know this, but just out of curiosity, if the Coyotes situation does not work and they're relocated or disbanded or whatever the case might be, and of course a lockout, like I said, doesn't help at all. I mean, if they go a year like they did in 2004 without a season, I think it's certain death for the Coyotes. I just can't see it happening. Is there a plan B that you know of? And if not, what would your plan B be for the Jobbing.com arena, which is such a beautiful arena?
It is. It's a beautiful arena, and a lot of those merchants down there depend on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
On those people being there on that 42 games so that they can be able to pay their bills and do what they've got to do. We would, as a city, we would either we would have to put another management team in place in order to start getting some involvement into that arena. Maybe some trade shows that would last for 2 and 3 days, mm-hmm. so that it helps the surrounding hotels to concerts and other venues. So I would almost guarantee that we'd be looking for another management team to come in there and
now, of course,
look at what they can do.
It was built for hockey. Any chance of a minor league team? Maybe the LA Kings minor league team? That'd be sort of cool.
You're talking to the wrong person there.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
I'd wonder about the contract for the naming rights, too. If without that, without the team in there,
that's another great question, whether how that impacts. I'm writing that down because I'll call Craig Tindall and say, hey, what's up with
that's
that one?
Guy to talk to.
That's a very good question.
I mean, there are a lot of ancillary questions that happen.
It really is.
And that just happens to be one of them.
Well, if I wrote the agreement, I'm not an attorney, but if I wrote it or reviewed an agreement and I was representing Jobbing.com, you know, the company, I would certainly want something, a provision in there that said, if the Coyotes leave, so do we. I mean, you don't want to pay all that money. But I don't know. We'll see. That's just business talk here.
That's right. And I'll tell you, the good things that we have going on for that area now is the fact that the Tanger outlets are almost completed. And then we've got the Dignity Health Hospital that's going to be breaking ground across the street in January. That's going to be a 24-bed hospital, a small hospital with surrounding offices, and it's going to have room to expand by double, I think, is what I was led to believe.
Well, it's a beautiful area. Westgate is just fantastic. One of the best, I think, in the nation.
I think so, too. It's beautiful. If that casino comes in on top of that, then you're talking about a huge influx of additional people to kind of spread around the rest of the merchants as well.
Well, let's talk about the casino because, of course, that's been another hot topic where the city of Glendale current council members seem to be fighting that. What's your view on that?
Well, I think that the West Valley Resort and Casino is going to be a much-needed partner for the city of Glendale. The city of Glendale needs to continue the private and public partnerships. That would bring in, I think, a huge amount of revenue to the city, as well as jobs. They're saying 3,000 to 6,000 jobs in construction, and then about 3,000 permanent jobs. They talked about funding after-school programs. They talked about using local labor and local businesses first. So there's a lot of great things that can come from this at a time when we sure can use it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, let's talk about your opponent. Is he against the casino that you know of?
He is. He's against the casino. He believes that because casinos are on reservations, sovereign land, that they don't pay any sales tax sales tax revenue. But with casinos, you have to shell out a certain percentage of revenue sharing by a law, and that's where you'll make a good portion of that up.
Oh, so that's sort of cool. So what you're saying is the city of Glendale would be part of a revenue sharing arrangement.
Correct.
So maybe it's the same as sales tax?
I'm not sure.
In terms of money, maybe.
It could be.
Yeah.
But then the jobs that are going to be there, and then the directly and indirectly, all the vendors that have to service that, that casino, and then it does bring in extra people to the area so that the other outlets right. and the other merchants should be able to get quite a bit of extra revenue from those influx of individuals.
Now, what's another difference between you and your opponent? I think 457, I think he is he wants yes on that, I believe.
That is correct.
So and he's not a big Coyote fan, evidently.
I'm not sure what kind of fan he is, to be honest with you. But I think that with as many services that we could possibly lose, that it's so important to make sure that we keep what we have so we can stabilize that. And when I go into my – I've got a six-point economic plan, and part of that plan is keeping that sales tax in place so that we don't go backwards. Getting the casino, that's another part of the plan, so that's job creation. And then also going into that is we've got to take a look at our efficiency. We've got to do performance and efficiency reviews. There's some plans out there that that are used in cities all over the nation that save money, and I believe that we can save about $8 million a year on the low end using this type of best practice. You combine that with getting a new city manager and taking a look at our finances, and I think we can do some great things. We've got foreign trade zones too here as part of Glendale, and we can possibly look at utilizing those foreign trade zones like they do on the east side with the intels and so forth, so we can start to balance that that economic impact on the larger job creations such as
now. When you say foreign, does that mean outside of Glendale?
No.
Or does that mean outside the United States?
Yeah, foreign trade zones are land that that can be used by national companies or even local companies to be able to be more competitive in the foreign trade market overseas if they're a manufacturer really? Producing mm-hmm. Whatever widget or whatever it is that they are. They get certain breaks on trade. So I'm
okay, and so where if
in Glendale if is actually part of that.
Okay, so if they were to get some breaks to get them in here, how do you make up that quote unquote lost revenue on something like that?
I don't believe there'd be any lost revenue because the tax system's a little bit different with them, and it ends up becoming more of a direct tax, especially to schools and so forth. I know that we've got a lot of land on the west side of Glendale that's not being utilized at this point. And with the Luke, which has just been a great partner, Air Force Base and their F-35 projects coming in, we've got a lot of room over there in that area to be able to really utilize some of this land, and maybe it's for some businesses that actually work on parts that might be used militarily, or maybe it's just going to be just regular commercial-like manufacturers.
Sounds creative. That's good. Let's take a quick break now. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Manny Cruz, running for mayor, City of Glendale. This is the Fifth Monday special event, part of The Magazine, starring Mitchell Spean. We'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm. A family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory. When we started, he always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins, great family law attorneys and more.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and Mitchell Spean. This is the Fifth Monday special event, part of, I'm going to proclaim it now, the magazine show, which is every Thursday from 2 to 4. And Mitchell, a great guest today, Manny Cruz, running for mayor, City of Glendale. What a hotly contested election that is, as well as a lot of elections in Arizona, as well as nationwide. You're part of it.
Yeah, this is the year for the battles, apparently.
Oh, huge battles. It's almost like a sporting event. I'm probably going to go to a sports bar next Tuesday and watch it. I don't even think – I think we'll know about your election, but we may not know about the national election by the end of that night. I don't think so. I think just follow – you know where they always say follow the money, follow the attorneys, and then we'll know. Yeah, that's my prediction. I'm sticking with it. Okay, but also follow the money is my suggestion too, and you'll know who's supporting who. Okay, anyway, we talked about the casino, which is a big topic. You're for it. 457 of the sales tax deal, you're partly for it. The part well, saying no is the citizens would have the right? Or if you say yes, the citizens would have the right to vote, but they would also keep the increase. If you say no, then I have it the opposite, don't I? Have it the opposite.
Say no to 457 keeps the sales tax increase that's already been in place.
That's right.
In place.
And but then the citizens can't vote.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's how it is. And but it does make and warm the hearts of Coyotes fans, because if you keep the sales tax in place, it's more of a chance the Coyotes will stay. There's no question. It's in the budget.
Correct.
Yeah. So there we go. So we cleared that up out of my confusion. But I know what I'm talking about. Okay. And then we I thought we would talk a little bit about your six-point plan for jobs, economic growth. But before we do that, here's something I don't know a lot about, but the Camelback Ranch issue, I think January, does the city have to pay like $200 million or something? What's up with that?
Yes, the Camelback Ranch is the baseball facility that's in the city of Phoenix that's paid for by the city of Glendale, in which the city of Phoenix gets the tax revenue on. And that's a $200 million debt service. So it's one of the things in my plan here that we've been looking at, and at, as far as renegotiating that debt service along with the Jobbing.com arena.
Okay, well, let's go through your six-point plan. Let's do it numerically, in order. Plan, step one.
Step one is keeping the emergency revenue in place. So that's a $25 million tax that's there now. So that's no on 457. Step two would be initiating the SMART plan that we want to put in place. Now, the SMART plan is an efficiency review plan that's been working in cities all across the nation. It's one of the best practices plan. And just to briefly talk about what that involves, when I say performance review, it involves things such as looking for non-essential real estate holdings to see if we can sell some of those that were not being utilized. looking at fleet management, looking at coordination between agencies, consolidations of everything from printing to communications and telecommunications, conducting cross training. I mean, there's a bunch of different avenues in which we can go. Cutting edge procurement practices. You know that if you work with other cities, your sister cities, and procuring everything from chemicals that are needed for water treatment to paper supplies, you can save money by getting them in bulk and getting them in bigger bulk when you're working with your sister cities. So that's kind of how you kind of save money at every level, and we believe that will bring an additional $8 million on the low end in savings to the city of Glendale. That would be number three.
But before we go, that's number three? Or you're ready to
I'm
go
sorry.
Number three?
That's number two.
But, you know, Mitch and I are both CPAs, business consultants, and we are both big fans of these performance and efficiency reviews and best practices. There's no question in our mind that more politicians that know business like yourself, Manny, really appreciate what these efficiency standards, best practices can do. I mean, part of it is a concept called Lean, Six Sigma, Total Quality Management. And not enough, just general businesses are doing it. The big corporations try to do it. The midsize really don't do it. The small companies don't even know it exists. And certainly in the political structure, they don't do it either. And it just is unbelievable to me, right, Mitch, that they are not developing these best practices which will reduce waste, reduce cost, increase efficiency by the employees. It's a no-brainer.
It helps the bottom line without increasing sales. And
yeah,
when you're talking about government,
yeah,
it's very limited as far as the revenue streams. It's not like you can come up with another product. Yeah, you can come up with another tax, and that's just gonna, you know, just as soon as you put the word tax in there, it's gonna have a negative connotation to it.
Right.
But when you reduce cost, and then all of a sudden you're
increase
a hero.
Efficiency. I mean, shorten up the cycle time, the lead time. And Manny, I really appreciate that you're looking at this, and this is part of your plan. So many people don't even understand this.
Right.
I'm impressed.
Well, thank you.
Very, very nice. That's my commentary today. Okay.
I'll take it.
Now we're number three. But what I'm saying is I like what you're doing, and we need more people in politics proposing these things, because that's why they say, you know, the national government or whatever government, it seems such a waste.
Absolutely.
And it's just they're spending not just for spending, but they're spending in an inefficient manner where they can shore that up and save tons of money, just like you said.
Right, and I think we definitely have to treat our tax dollars with the respect that they deserve. A lot
totally.
Of hardworking folks, you know, pay those taxes, and they've got to be, we've got to utilize those taxes absolutely the best that we can.
Absolutely. Okay. Point three.
Point three is supporting the casino. That'll
yeah.
bring in thousands of jobs. It'll bring in revenue creation, revenue sharing. It's going to help with the business with the public. Public-private partnerships that helps the after-school programs that help other community organizations. So that actually brings in jobs, and that helps Glendale as a whole.
And revenue sharing, you said, at some level.
At some level, correct.
Yeah, we may not know what that is, but that is a revenue increase to the city of Glendale.
Absolutely. And if you go in there, right now the city of Glendale has a lawsuit against the Tohono O'odham Nation, and the city of Glendale has spent $3.5 million in litigation costs at
Ooh.
This point.
Oh, that's
so let's stop that and use that money, I think, more efficiently, and then get those jobs coming in. So we'll stop the lawsuits on that, and hopefully if the city of Glendale stops the lawsuits, then the state will stop the lawsuits, and then they can get to work and get people working.
Now, everything has a downside. There's always a flip side of every coin, but you have to evaluate what's more beneficial. Usually is that how you evaluate things. Is there any downside to having the casino that you could see? Is there anything that has been said? And again, we know the upside. And if the upside's better, then maybe you go with the upside. But what do you see as a downside, if
well,
there is?
I think that we should take a look at what's been going on in Scottsdale. They have two there. So I think that a lot of folks are worried about community, about schools, about the general area, increase in crime and things like that. But if you study show that in a casino such as that, that those aren't viable issues, that they The intergovernmental agreements that they have between the Tohono O'odham Nation and the city of Glendale are such that it really keeps that area spotless. And the casino is on over 100 acres of land. I think it's I'm not sure, maybe it's 120, roughly 120 acres, but they're only going to utilize 53 acres of that, and then you've got a large barrier around that to the rest of the community. So that's going to help as well. But I think with that being in place, it's going to bring in jobs just at a time when we desperately need them.
And is it going to be a real upscale casino? Like when I haven't been to too many casinos, but at networking events, Talking Stick seems to be like really a cool place.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like that?
Well, I've just looked at the outside model of it, and it looks pretty darn neat.
It's going to be pretty upscale then.
Absolutely. And I live in the area there too, and I'm not a gambler, but I'm looking forward to that economic development. Imagine a $300 million project that doesn't have to have any self-defeating subsidies. The city of Glendale is not going to spend a dime on it.
Really?
So, I mean, that right there is something that's going to generate revenue for years to come.
It sounds like it. And Talking Stick, the D-backs, I believe, have their spring training facility there now. And of course, we're big D-back fans. So that, and I hear it's beautiful. I haven't been there either, but I have been to Talking Stick. Mitch, have
well,
you
just,
been to?
Just think about this.
Yeah.
When's your busy season? Right during spring training.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So you
get right, he's right. he's absolutely right as a CPA. No wonder.
That's why you don't get down there.
Yeah, good point. But it is beautiful, you know, and if it's upscale like that, I'm sure it's going to be a beautiful arena. That's near the Westgate somewhat?
Right, that's going to be off of the 101 in Northern. So at about
further west,
91st Avenue.
Okay. Yeah, that's very cool. So, okay, so that's point three.
That would be enough distance for those people who are going to Westgate but they want to have the influence of the casinos.
Well, after a game, you go to the casino.
There you go.
And I bet there's high scale, good food, buffets, and entertainment probably.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, I would think so. That's how they, it's like a mini, what? I was going to say a mini Vegas, but not really.
No.
These aren't mini Vegases.
No.
They're just one hotel.
Yeah, it's just going to bring a large amount of tourism to that area, I think, and that's going to help the surrounding businesses.
Yeah. Is there going to be a hotel attached?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Okay. So here we go. I withdraw my Vegas comment. Okay.
Moving on. Let's go to
point four.
Going to four, we're looking at getting a new city manager. As you know, right now, Mr. Skeet is interim manager. Mr. Beasley, who was our city manager, has retired this year.
Mm.
So it's looking for the best of the brightest. And it'll be I'm looking forward to jump starting that process with the new city council and get that going. So that's going to be part of the plan. The mayor and city council set the tone, and it's going to be about more transparency. It's going to be about less closed door executive sessions, working more with communities, working more with small businesses. I'm a small business advocate, so that's going to be a huge part of what we do. But that, and then moving on to the next point as well, is the audit, the external audit, to find out where the money went or where is it going now. And where do we need to improve on it? Where can we? You're CPA, so
yeah.
I mean, you know more than I what you know what that entails. But I think after nearly 20 years, I think that it's we owe it to the citizens of Glendale to actually do an external audit and find out exactly where we are financially with all our.
So what I'm hearing you say is that the city of Glendale has never had a certified audit?
No, they have audits annually. And they do that internally, and I think that the state does that as well. But we're talking about something completely different.
So like an external CPA firm or whatever.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that
would be. You guys got your business cards? No, I'm just.
Yes, get your business card out there. Yes, bid starts at $100,000. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think that's a good idea because, and I didn't, you know, I don't do a lot of government accounting. I don't know if you do, Mitch, but, you know, I don't know if they're required or not, but from an objective, right, Manny, standpoint, objectivity, independent standpoint, and also give some suggestions, it sounds like a good idea.
And I'm hearing, as I go and knock on doors all over the city, I hear that a lot. You know, can we have an external audit? Mm-hmm. We want to know exactly where we are,
I see.
Where we need to go. And it's been a while since we have had a change of hands. As a citizen, I'd like to know where we are financially from an outside perspective.
And it probably doesn't have to be a certified audit. It could be just type outside internal control type of stuff.
There are certain procedural things you can you can look at and get the same kind of information that would allow you to be more efficient and still understand what the financials look like.
That's good. I like this transparency. That's what people wanted, as it appears, not just locally but nationally too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're on point. I'm lost track. I think on five.
We
or
did
six.
The we did the keeping the emergency revenue, which was one. The smart plan is two. The casino was three. The city manager is four. The audit is five.
Going back to the city manager that is not a elected position. Is that what you?
That is correct.
It's just something that the council and the mayor decide upon at the after the elections, essentially.
Right. We appoint the city manager, and that actually could have been done after the city manager left this past summer. But the city council decided to wait until the new mayor and city council come in so that they can start those proceedings
themselves. That probably makes sense, right?
So, that does quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be looking at a national, hopefully, and from what I hear from the other candidates that are running and from some of the city councilmen that are there now, a national search is something that we're thinking about doing. Mm. Not to push out anyone that's there now or here in Arizona, but just to make sure that we cover our base.
Well, you want the highest and best, most qualified. Okay, yeah. Mitch.
Looking for quality.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No
with
doubt.
A proven track record to help us. Now. Maybe something like someone like Alexander Hamilton or something like that. Back, he would
get without the guns.
Without the guns.
Without Aaron Burr. Am I thinking the right way here? The duel?
Yeah.
Oh, we already have that up in Washington right now. I don't know who's who, though. But we'll see. We'll know. Anyway, so we're now on point six.
And we're now on point six, and that's making sure that Glendale's at the forefront of economic development. And that's a big part of I've got a great relationship with our regional leaders. Mayor Stanton is a great endorser and friend of mine. Mm. Pretty much every city surrounding councilmen and mayors have endorsed my campaign, working with them to bring that economic development, working with trying to get the foreign trade zone, utilize that to bring the economic development that we need and kind of slide the scales more evenly now that it's been really moving on the East Coast, and then being that small business advocate and streamlining the process with the city of Glendale, having the business roundtables and talk about what's working for you, what's not working for you, what can the city of Glendale do better to help businesses not only start but grow and be successful. If we partner with some of our education-based partners, I think that's going to be helpful as well. Because, for example, Glendale Community College has a new government procurement office that is open, and they teach small businesses how to get those big contracts. So that's the type of partnerships that we're talking about.
That's sort of cool. Now, my impression, and just tell me if this makes sense or not, but the impression or the perception, and perception seems to be reality, is the identity for the longest time now, City of Glendale is more a sports capital type of stuff. Is that, would you classify that as such? Or?
Well, I've heard sports mecca, but I'm not sure.
Or sports mecca, yeah. Is that something that you want to continue if that is the perception, or do you want to expand off of that?
Well, right now it's about stabilizing the City of Glendale financially and making sure that we don't have any loss of services to our citizens, making sure that they have what they need. That's my primary goal.
Sure.
And then when things get better, we'll readdress those later. But it's making sure that they have their services, making sure we don't do any layoffs, making sure that we can balance our budget. And that's priority one.
Now, what's always interesting to me is you look nationally, at least, 2000 to 2008, and then that election, you had McCain and of course, President Obama. It's like, why would anyone want to follow up what most people, both sides now, acknowledge as quite a big mess the last, from 2000-2008? And that was George W., with the going from a surplus to deficits and a lot of crazy stuff going on. And I always wondered, like, wow, that's almost like a no-win situation. And you're going into somewhat a similar situation, it seems like, with the City of Glendale. But tell us why you would want to go in right now.
Well, because I absolutely love my city, and I believe in my city. I'm excited about the city of Glendale. I think we can do some great things. In the beginning, we can't do all things, but we can do great things. And I think that my background and the fact that I am involved with the community and with the commission and with local organizations, and the fact that I do have that working relationship with our regional leaders, it gives me the advantage to be able to actually go in there and stabilize the city of Glendale so that we can move it forward. So there's a need there again. And I see that need, and I believe I can help.
Yeah, you know, that's good. I mean, that's it really demonstrates some of the great qualities you have, you know, that we talked about earlier, compassion and really a passion to help. And let me ask you this, too. You know, politics are...
thankless?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you hear people becoming disenfranchised or frustrated over politicians. And do you consider yourself a politician? I mean, certainly Glendale's a big city. Certainly the position of mayor is solidly entrenched in politics. But do you look at it differently? Do you look at the identity of yourself, not so much as a politician, but as a someone with compassion?
Public servant?
Yeah, public servant. Thank you. That, you know, someone that can redefine what a politician means, because they haven't gotten high ranks recently.
Yes, absolutely. That's how I look at it, as a public servant. The office of mayor is not about me. It's about the people I serve. And I talk a lot about that when I get to meet individuals and shake their hand and talk to them at the door, that it's about serving them. And you know, a lot of people get frustrated with the career politician. They're just in it for themselves or for their next job. I do okay. My wife does okay. My wife's owns her own business. So I've got a great family. So it's always been about public service and putting someone in there that has integrity, and his sole purpose is to make life better for the citizens of Glendale.
So how would you partner with the citizens in order to do that?
Well, like I said, with the business roundtables, with the transparency, from the get-go, we're going to be shooting out an email. I'm going to encourage our citizens to sign onto our email from the mayor's desk so that we can inform our citizens exactly what we're doing every week and what's coming up, and invite them to give that input. We're going to be setting aside time every week so that folks can just come in and talk to me and just say, here's some of the problems that I need addressed, or that I would like you to look into, or that I'm having trouble with, or that you're doing good. So that's how we do that. It's the community involvement that I talk about all the time. And you just can't depend on executive staff to tell you where to go. You've got to be able to go out there and see it firsthand and talk to people. And I see it all the time now when I'm out there. I see the gentleman that adult center raised the prices from $10 a year to $40 a year. And he's on a fixed income, and he can't afford that extra $30 a year. So he's got to decide whether to stay to be able to keep that membership or to get his grandson a graduation gift. You know, so these are decisions that people make on different levels, and I want to be able to be there to hear them so that I can take everything into account when I make decisions.
Well, that's good, because that's, I think, one of the frustrations most of all from people, that their voice isn't heard. And what you're saying, it sounds like to me that you want to hear the voices and not just hear them, but do something about it.
Absolutely.
That is very cool.
Which now means you've got to kind of get all the people that work for you to have that same kind of attitude. And that's got to be a challenge in and of itself, because it's not going to be a full clean house of everybody that works in Glendale.
Right. But like I said, it's with the new city council that's coming in. It's talking with them to get them to understand that it is not, and most of them do. And I like everyone that's a candidate now. I like everyone that's on now. They all believe that what they're doing there is a public service to the city of Glendale. They want just what's best for the city of Glendale, and we've got to make sure that when we get that city manager, that he knows exactly where we stand and that the transparency that we need, because he's got to go on and hire an HR person. We've got to get a new chief of police. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to get done there, but it's making sure that we have that city manager that's going to just going to follow the rules or follow your vision, I think, is the best thing to do.
Well, that's big, too, that city manager position, I believe. That's going to be a big thing. Now, let me ask you this. We sort of started with the Coyotes, and maybe we'll end with the Coyotes.
Oh, boy.
So, so next Tuesday, there's several council members that are retiring, I believe, and there's several that are still up for election. And if there's a dramatic shift, or let me ask you it this way, could there be a dramatic shift, people on the council getting voted in that are anti-Coyote?
I don't think anyone's anti-Coyote.
That didn't sound quite right. But a situation where they look at the economics and they say, hey, we better go to Plan B. Are there, because there are certain, you know, council members that obviously they were pro having the Coyotes stay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also council members currently that says, no, you know, it doesn't economically make sense. Could there be a dramatic shift on more people on the council saying, hey, this just doesn't make sense, and then they don't vote the Jameson deal in? Is that possible?
That's possible. But one thing you have to remember is that we're not going to get voted in until January, so the decision could be made before we even get into office.
And that would be interesting, though, because that sets up a dilemma that if the new council that just got voted in, but they don't start till January, and they already know they want Plan B and not the Coyotes, but the current council, well, their last parting vote is to keep the Coyotes. That would be sort of an interesting situation.
Well, it's still 7 votes, though. So yeah. And you do have 3 members that are on there, that are there, not up for election until for another 2 more years. And I believe that Manny Martinez and Norma, they may consider retiring at that point. So
we might even
see some additional members as well.
Okay, very cool. And then we only have a couple minutes left, but talk about core services, how important that is.
Core services are extremely important, especially right now with the rise in housing market right now. It's critically important to make sure that you have your trash picked up, your water service is done. And core services, making sure that the police are there when you need them in a timely fashion, when you call the fire department, that they're there and making sure that they do everything that they can to keep you going. But the non-core services, I think, are just as important to the citizens of Glendale as the core services. I mean, the core services are there, and we're trying to keep them, make sure that we keep water rates as low as possible, and give them everything that they need. It's working together and making sure that we hustle after those grants that we need, those federal grants to keep the streets going and additional services that we got to maintain.
Wow, being mayor is no easy task. You got to know a little bit of everything, good business mind and know how to coordinate stuff, organizational skills, a multitude of skills. That is fascinating to me. How do people get in touch with you if you want to talk to them? You probably have a website and so on.
I do. It's cruzformayor.com. The election, right now, early ballots are out. If you have an early ballot, we are asking you to get that mailed in no later than Thursday so that it has time to be counted and processed. And the election is on November 6th.
And Cruz for Mayor, that's F-O-R or the number 4?
That's F-O-R.
So cruzformayor.com. And, well, Manny Cruz, it's really been a pleasure talking with you again.
Thanks, Dave.
I've known you a couple years, and I most of all appreciate you're so straightforward. I mean, you said exactly what you're going to do. We're used to politicians sometimes nationally that, like, wait a minute, last week you said this and this week you said that. Which week do we choose from, you know? And that always bugs me, knowing, you know, how people stand. I know exactly where you stand. It's been a great hour. Thank you so much, Manny Cruz.
It's been an honor. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much, Mitch Spean. Always nice seeing you. I'll probably see you later. And, of course, tomorrow.
And
that's right. We have Jim Hyten right now, or Hyten and Lewis, a great law firm, talking tax planning. I think it's important, especially this year. It is craziness. The fiscal cliff is upon us. How do you tax plan? We're going to talk about it tomorrow, 2 to 4. Be there. And everyone have a great night. Go Cardinals tonight,
yes,
against the Niners in the city of Glendale. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.